have evolved beyond that 19th century idea of a nation being a group of people tied by history and language to a certain place. We could be watching the birth of a new kind of nation, without common blood or soil, whose citizens share the same belief system learned at business schools. Markets are always right. Algorithms are never wrong. Born in one country, educated in another, living in a third, old-fashioned ideas of national allegiance and obligation don't apply to them. Perhaps a new kind of nation is necessary to create the power to regulate and contain this group. I doubt the late French president François Mitterrand or the former German chancellor Helmut Kohl, the men who, more than any others, put the framework for a United States of Europe in place, did it because they foresaw the consequences of globalization and thought a single European confederation would be better placed to withstand a new tribe of speculators capable of destroying individual national economies with an algorithm pre-programmed into a supercomputer. I think they acted because the collapse of the Soviet Union gave them a unique opportunity to create a united Europe through a peaceful political process. The single currency was only the first step. When it was created, they knew it was flawed, that there needed to be an independent central bank that could create money and a common fiscal policy and pan-European political institutions to oversee the economic machine. But the euro was created by political negotiation, not by force, and in politics, you take the deal you can get. Will there be time to take the second step? Will the nations of Europe move beyond their history? I want to tell you one last story. It's about the poet Heinrich Heine, a great figure of our common European heritage. Born just as Napoleon was beginning to march into history, he suffered through all the early identity questions of European nationhood. Born a Jew, he considered himself a German, but like Beethoven, he too had a sneaking admiration for the early Napoleon, the liberator. Heine himself acknowledged he had been given his rights by a foreign conqueror, but only at the cost of his nation's humiliation. "What is the role of the nation in the new Europe?" Heine asked. He found an answer while touring from Munich to Genoa in 1828. As his carriage crossed an open space in the Piedmont, the driver leaned down and told his passengers they were now on the battlefield of Marengo. The battle, fought in 1800, doesn't mean so much now, but it was the scene of Napoleon's first great triumph over the Austrians. Heine looked out over the fields. This was where it had all started to go wrong. Napoleon's megalomania began to take over after his stunning victory. French chauvinism replaced Napoleon's universal understanding of freedom. But that dream is still there. It is stirring. And then the poet has an epiphany about the nations of Europe. Gradually, day by day, foolish national prejudices are disappearing. All harsh differentiations are lost in the generality of European civilization. There are no more nations in Europe, only parties, and it is marvelous to see how these parties, for all their varying coloration, recognize one another, and how they understand one another, despite many differences in language. Our age hastens towards its great task. But what is the great task of our own age? Heine asks. His answer is emancipation, freeing the oppressed in Ireland, the Jews in Germany, slaves in the Caribbean, emancipating the whole world. All mankind together embarked on one noble task, not hampered by considerations of national pride. Heine clearly was wrong. There are still nations in Europe, and within them national prejudices survive. In my career as a journalist, I have reported the misery and counted the dead created by those prejudices. But he was right to ask a question of all people, regardless of what country they lived in. What is the great task of our time? What is a nation? I still don't have a simple answer. But I do think the great task of our time is for people to try and find an answer that works for who we are as individuals and citizens today, at this moment in history, and hopefully for a long time into the future.
Michael Goldfarb with the last of his essays, What is a Nation? The producer was Julia Hayball, and the series was a Wise Buddha production for BBC Radio 3, first broadcast in June last year. And now, World on 3 with Lopakotari.
Thanks, James. And yes, welcome to World on Three. Passionate, charismatic and a tricky mix of music. Three things that have been used to describe Argentina's Sofia Rey. And that's what I want tonight's programme to embrace. So let's kick off with La Gallera from Sofia herself.
Soy la del gallo que gana, mi suerte nació en Boca Chica y se perdió en la mirada de un capitán y un timón. Cartagena está en su sangre, en su color y su voz. No va por su suerte, espera por su gallo.
Vocal experimentalist Argentinian Sofia Rey and La Gallera, a song that Sofia says is a reminder of her trip to a cockfight in Cartagena in Colombia. De Tierra y Oro is her album out on Lily House Music, and I'm going to play another track from it later on. Hello, I'm Lapa Kotari, and tonight on World on Three there is quite a mix of music. I've got songs about and from animals, street music and invitations to dance, and my guest is the modern face of Arab music, a Lebanese underground icon, Yasmin Hamdan. So hang on to the handlebars, you're in for a bit of a roller coaster ride. Starting with India's Jaipur Kawa Brass Band. Now, if you thought that Indian wedding bands were all about noise, outsized uniforms and variation upon variation to the point of distraction of the same rhythm, then think again, because these guys are the pick of the crop. Band leader Hamid Khan went to Paris and had a eureka moment. He returned to Rajasthan with a fire in his belly, determined to create a world-class Hindustani brass band. And I think he's done it. This is Gore Gore Obanke Chore from their album Dance of the Cobra. It's a bit of a flirting song, ideal for shy newlyweds. We'll be right back. Lots of Back to the Future kind of music on the programme tonight. That was Colombia's Monsieur Perrine, reviving old-time swing and plugging it into some modern-day electronic gizmos. Before that, the Jaipur Kawa Brass Band, and you can see them in all their finery playing at Bestival on the Isle of Wight this September. Now, sometimes you just want to play an album or a song because of the title, and Rabbit's Motel is one of them. It's a real plus that it's from urban American folk band Woody Pines, who have wit and are pretty good musicians. Woody says that the Rabbit's Motel used to be the best soul food in Asheville, North Carolina. Well, here's a helping of some good old country blues, Like I Do.
She's putting Vaseline on her skin. She's drinking gasoline to wipe it off her chin. She don't sleep much, but when she do, she's there haunted by the ghosts of the morning new. She like a cousin or my sister. Yes, I knew it when I kissed her. And I love her, but I miss her. Ooh, baby, baby, like I do. It's hard to explain. I can't complain. You were my muse. Gonna get a view. We've been taking a vacation. It wasn't sister or brother hatred. Been a faking all over town. You butter my toast when it turns brown. Won't you lie to me if you can? Or won't you lie to me where to begin? Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies, while knocking back a bottle of peanut and gin. Hard to explain, I can't complain. Were my muse, gonna get abused. She putting Vaseline on her skin. She drinking gasoline to wipe it off her chin. She don't sleep much, but when she do, she be haunted by the ghosts of the morning news.
And there you have some honest-to-goodness street music. Music from Zambia and a 1996 field recording of Chiongo Tabateba by the Mansa Visual Arts Band, brought to our streets by the ever-intrepid Dutch SWP record label. Zambia Roadside Volume 2 has got some real gems on it. Not always of the best quality. I mean, they are field recordings after all, but stuff that, as Michael Baird, the label's founder, says, are unique and forgotten, and for some unfathomable reason, other labels won't touch. You're listening to me, Lopa Kotari. Lebanese singer Yasmin Hamdan is my guest this evening, and she's going to be singing for us after these next two tracks. First up is Nathan Sonny and Accept Yourself, a wee taster of his forthcoming album 1-0, due out at the end of this month. An album that was recorded straight to disc before a live audience back in April. Old school ways for an album that, from the sounds of it, has Nathan revisiting a star that established his career.
Sun goes down, be careful what you wish for, 'cause the night is holding all your dreams right now. When nothing goes your way, give thanks for what you still have, 'cause the future takes a road you can control.
Accept yourself. Albania. Wallah ya Albania. Wallah ya Albania. Wallah ya Albania. Wallah ya Albania.
The trance-inducing Gnawa rhythm. It makes me want to rock back and forth on my feet and lose myself in its magic. Simo Lagnawi is a Moroccan immigrant living in London, and Gnawa London is his debut album. He plays everything on it, by the way. The 10 tracks on the album lead you through a series of moods, starting with that one, Bani Yorkoy, that sets the scene, and it's out on Walk Records. And Simo is going to be playing in London on the 6th of July and on the Isle of Wight, I believe another of the acts playing at Bestival this year. You can find details online. And so we head from Morocco in London to Lebanon by way of Paris. Paris-based Yasmine Hamdan is my session guest tonight, and she's going to start with a song called Beirut.
شرب العرق لعب الورق خيل السبق صيد الحمام شرب العرق لعب الورق خيل السبق صيد الحمام رسم البرود لبس شم الهوى أكل الهوى شاغل عقول سكان بيروت
The sultry, smoky, seductive voice of Yasmin Hamdan and a song there called Beirut. Yasmin, a very warm welcome to you.
Hi, thank you for having us.
What I'd like to do today is actually to talk to you about some of your favourite things, so like Sound of Music. Mm-hmm. So I wondered, what are some of your favourite songs or the things that influenced you to get into music?
I have so many favourites. I can say that two persons really influenced me when I started. Asmahan is an Arabic singer, old singer. She died in the Nile. And when I started, it was Portishead. I used to listen to Portishead a lot, and PJ Harvey and other artists. But I listened to a lot of people.
What was it about Soap Kills, the first band that you put together back in the late 90s, that made it such an underground success in Beirut at the time?
Well, it was nothing like that existing at that time, because we started end of the civil war, and I started singing Arabic without really having access to this very sophisticated music. So it was a little bit deconstructing this very heavy and sophisticated heritage. And with Soap Kills, we started using for the first time samples and sampling Arabic stuff, and also using beats, electronic beats. And so it was, in a way, a little bit before its time at that time. And I'm talking about Beirut, end of the civil war. There's one bar, one restaurant, half of the city is destroyed. So it was like a symbolic moment for a lot of artists that started working at that period.
What made you start singing in Arabic then? Did you have an epiphany?
I did have an epiphany, but I was singing in English, and I was composing in English, but I had like a love affair with Asmahan, the singer. Like, I fell in love with her voice, and I started, and she, it was like an initiation. I started listening to her music, and I found it very avant-garde and very edgy. It was recorded maybe in the 40s or 50s. So starting by her, I went and started researching and collecting old music. And naturally, I started singing Arabic, but I felt that it was giving me like a sense to what I was wanted to do. Like, this desire of being a musician became really serious to me and became concrete when I started wanting to sing in Arabic. It became like not about me, but about a wider vision.
Did you study music officially? Or was it just something you picked up and tried? I mean, do you play any instruments?
I did study 2 years in the conservatory, but it didn't work for me. It's like they fired me. I couldn't manage. Because my thing was more about fantasy and desire and going by ear, hearing, listening, learning by ear. I guess it's a spiritual, it's in a way, initiation to music, because I was spending my time, my life with these people, dead or alive, but mostly dead people, is recording in my car, in my house, in my everywhere. So this is my school, I can say.
Now, you've lived many places. Mm-hmm. You're now in Paris. What are some of your favorite places that you've been? What are the places that you call home?
I don't have a place I call home. Maybe Paris is my apartment is my home, and I'm attached to it. Because I speak the language, I'm very comfortable with it. I don't all the way feel I'm an insider, but it's comfortable for me, and it's a very inspiring city. But I like to travel a lot, and I've been to many places. Yes, I love India, by the way. I love India. I love the US. It depends. It's a very beautiful country. It depends where, but I've seen very beautiful places. So eventually I have a dream is to live quietly. It's a fantasy to live quietly in the mountain and not see anyone anymore, or on the beach. But this is a fantasy. So I like cities.
And have you been back to Beirut quite a bit? Do you go back regularly? Are your family still there?
Yes, everybody's still there. I go there maybe 2 to 3 times per year, and I have everybody there, yeah.
Well, we're going to talk, I'd like to talk more about the your new album mm-hmm. later on, but this next song we're going to hear is called Duni. Tell me a little bit about it.
It's about, it's all of the songs are in a way about a woman's psychology in a relationship. So this one is about distance. And Deni means ear. So it's about reincarnation, the reincarnation of the lover, in a way, but in a very symbolic way. So the lyrics are not, because Arabic, this is how we write Arabic, is not directly, we don't go straight to the point. We always have layers and hints, and this song is about lover's reincarnation.
Thank you. يا ليلي لما تطول حرك ذكرى المحمول أحيي العطر حبيبي أشبه بعطر العود يا ليلي لما تطول خلي المسافة تزول بلغ شوقي لحبيبي من لمسته محروم البعد عنه طال واشتد شوقي وصار البعد عنه أتمنى لو تغري وصل صوتي لحبيبي أشواقي تنادي يا ليل الهم لحبيبي أتمنى لو تغري وصل صوتي لحبيبي أشواقي تنادي البعد عنه
Denis, a woman's call to the moon to carry the smell of her lover to her, a lover's reincarnation. More from Yasmin Hamdan in about 20 minutes. I'm going to invite you to dance now to more old-time new style music. So please stand up, kick off your shoes and play something soft on the floor, because this is the Limbo Song brought to you by Lord Mouse and the Calypso Cats. You ready? Okay, let's go.
Limbo, limbo, limbo like me.
Limbo, limbo like me.
A limbo, limbo, limbo like me.
Limbo, limbo like me.
Guy was so tall he almost touched the sky. Got so low and then he hit the ground and then he gotta go up and do another round. When he go for that limbo dance, you know he go so low that he run up pants. Limbo left and he limbo right. Say that he die tonight. So a limbo, limbo, limbo like me.
Limbo, limbo like me.
Limbo, limbo like me.
like me.
Limbo, limbo like me.
The fat one, the stout one, you go like me.
Limbo, limbo like me.
Susie Q, she was a limbo queen. Got so low, just like you never seen. Got so low, and then she hit the ground. And then she gotta go back and do another round. When she go for that limbo, that's the only go so low that she run her pants. Limbo left and she limbo right. See them fight down tonight. So a limbo, limbo, limbo like me. Kid. Got so low just like his daddy did. Got so low and then he hit the ground. And then he gotta go back and do another round. When he go for that limbo dance, you know he goes so low that he burn up pants. Limbo left and he limbo right. Let us see night to night. Hey, a limbo, limbo, limbo like me.
Sweet.
Swing With Me, another tune from Colombian's Monsieur Periné. Before that was an unusual pairing of Germany with Trinidad. Lord Mouse is an American-born calypso lover who lives in Berlin, and the Calypso Cats are his 17-piece band. All are based in Berlin, but between the lot of them, they hail from a total of 7 countries. Go Calypsonian is their second album, due out on Piranha on the 1st of July. There are some great songs on the album. I'm going to play another track later on, but it's got to be one of the soundtracks to this summer, because even if the weather doesn't deliver, this album really does. Etro and Fenatwa is the band that formed when 2 different Saharan groups from Niger met in Timbuktu at the Festival of the Desert back in 2004 and played together in an impromptu gig. As a result, they decided to join forces, not just because the music was so well received, but also as a show of solidarity and peace, a joining of the Tuareg with the Wahdabi. And this album, The Sahara Sessions, is a bit like a journey back to the time when they met. It was recorded in the desert, in a tent under the open sky, and during the evenings, in between playing music, they discussed politics and shared their daily concerns around the campfire. They were also visited by other artists who form part of the Sahara's musical wealth. This is Bakuba, and it starts off with the chatter of a group of kids who'd come along to check out what was going on, typical of the organic nature of the album and a lovely reflection of the community that's part of desert life. Moody 1940s Colombia, Mi Cumbia on Cumbia Insomnia. For me, the title's not referring to being unable to sleep, but rather telling you that this is music to stay awake for. Maguare is a group that I came across quite a few years ago when I used to trawl through MySpace for new and quirky sounds, and I have to say they've found their groove. Cumbia Insomnia is their debut album. It's out on Belgian label Zephyrus Music, and in it they rework some golden oldies like that one from Lucho Bermudez and throw in a few of their own songs. Now, how do I describe this next tune? I think it's best to say that it's hard-hitting Finnish Cajun rock. The cover of the album, Ramat Jumalat, is a bit scary and would have you believe that the music within it was more death metal than interesting neo-folk. It's Pekko Keppi and his ancient Finnish bowed lyre, Juhiko, plugged into a serious amp. Anna Urjan Ulva Kuta.
Anna, Suda, Lasson, Suda.
Lift Off Cannon, a song about the end of a romance from the Abramson Singers and Late Riser, their latest album. Canadian Leah Abramson cites mythology and the Beach Boys as some of her influences, so expect to find the album similarly eclectic. Right, back to the dulcet tones of Yasmine Hamdan, accompanied by the electronic wizardry of Marc Collin on keyboards, Lisette Allaire on guitar and backing vocals, and Sébastien Prin on drums. This is Samar.
There's a song with smiles all round. Yasmine Hamdan is with me in the studio. And in fact, we're joined now by Marc Collin as well, the producer Hello. And the keyboard player today. I say smiles all round, Yasmine, because if I get the lyrics right from your sleeve notes, this is a song about being blissed out on a night of glorious lovemaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask, this new album of yours, Yanas, which is your first solo album, you've drawn on a lot of the poems of some of the great Sufi writers and the modern poets. So these lyrics that you yourself have written?
Some of them, yes. For example, Samar, I came to the studio to Marc with an idea of a melody and some of the lyrics, and it took the shape it has today. And many of the songs were like that. The ones I composed, I co-composed them this way with Marc. In the studio, the lyrics, usually I'm much more comfortable with the melodies. I take more time with the lyrics because I try to find the right words that fit and that will shape the melody and give it the right tonality. So the interesting part is that I have access to a lot of dialects, because it's I can speak in and I understand many Arabic dialects. So Samar, for example, is in Bedouin dialect, and it's kind of very simple, but it puts it in a place where everything I'm saying has a little bit of shyness, but even if it's talking about a sexual night, it remains a little bit pudic, not shy, but like in a, it's said with decency. So it's all about playing on layers, a little bit of humor, sometimes some layers of something political, something about sensuality, about, I don't know, relationships, about jealousy, about anger, about things we all feel eventually, about hypochondria sometimes. It depends.
And how are you feeling, Mark, since we're talking?
Mark doesn't understand anything I'm singing, right?
Mark, how did you meet up with Yasmin?
We met a long time ago, I think, through a friend, a mutual friend. And she was just arrived in Paris, mm-hmm. I think, and she was looking for some producers or people to work on her first album. But it took a while to find the sound, and she did the album with Mirwes. And after we started, and I think in 1 year, finally we were happy with what we've done.
But it's an interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, listening to the work that you do with Nouvelle Vague, I mean, that's great. You know, complete reworkings of some fabulous covers. Sometimes you don't even recognize the song. You think, wow, that's an amazing piece. And then you're working with Yasmin. It's a very, very chilled out, sort of beautiful layers of music that just breathes on its own.
That was a good thing for me, because I was a bit prisoner of this sound of Nouvelle Vague somehow. And I'm really passionate about electronic as well, about ambient sound, about soundtracks, and about as well, I really like Arabic music as well. So it was a good opportunity to say something else and to try to create something, I think, really new. Yasmin didn't want to have derbuka, oriental strings, or something really oriental music. So we had to create something pop, but not with guitar and piano. So it was interesting to create all these textures, and to like Samar was a kind of pop song, but Yana's that we will listen with, it's a bit different.
So what is it about this song that we're going to hear, Yana's, that became the sort of the title also of the album?
Well, the title is interesting because it can be understood as an invitation to a discussion, or like as an invitation to address a public. It's a Kuwaiti song. I used to live in the Gulf, and I'm really in love with Gulf music. And this song in particular is extremely beautiful, and we've completely changed it and transformed it. We created a chorus. It has this memory of this original song from this very, very, very edgy, funky singer, Kuwaiti singer from the 70s called Aisha Al-Murta, and she looks like James Brown, but in woman. You know, she has a
bit freaky.
Really, she's more beautiful than him. I mean, he's beautiful, but she's more like, she's a woman, feminine, but she's got like very brown hair, like black hair, like always have her sunglasses. She has an incredible outfits, always wearing weird stuff. So this was, I like her.
Well, what a great personality to have as a sort of emblem of your album.
Exactly. And the way we work it on stage is different. We worked it with the band Lisette Alea and Sébastien Brun. It's really, they're really creative, and it's very different than what you hear in the album. It has this strong woman voices. Like a fighter, I don't know how we call it. Like
warrior women.
Warrior, yeah, it has this ambience.
Fantastic. Well, warrior woman, Yasmin Hamdan.
Yo.
Thanks for coming in and talking to me, Mark. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And to Lisette and Sébastien as well.
Yes.
The band. So here we have Yana's.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yo people, Yanas, Yasmin Hamdan and her band in session here on World on 3. She's back in London to do a gig at Bush Hall in October, but check online in case other dates pop up in the meantime. You're listening to Lopa Kotari here on BBC Radio 3. I promised you animals and here they are. I've got a monkey and a hog, plus cats and a mouse. Lord Mouse and his Calypso Cats provides the first with a number called Monkey Bop. The second is by way of Mick Jagger. Yes, Mick Jagger from Clifton Chenier, one of the musicians who influenced Mick Jagger way back when. I'm a Hog for You, performed by Chenier, is one of five tracks chosen by Jagger in this month's Songlines magazine Top of the World CD. So here's that first track, Monkey Bop and Lord Mouse.
What in the world is a monkey bop? Somebody tell me about the new craze. A funky kind of dance that leave me amazed. It's the latest kind of thing to hit the disco. Shaking up the pelvis, su calypso.
We do the bop, monkey bop. We do the bop, monkey bop.
First thing you do is bend up your knees. Sway your body like you're caught in the breeze. Buck up your hips and move down a line. Mama see to rock your body on time.
We do the bop, monkey bop.
That monkey bop is that kind of thing. It even make a granny jump up and swing. You poke out your butt just like a baboon. Shake it up and down, do monkey bop too.
We do the bop, monkey bop. We do the bop, monkey bop.
Chiquita, spin your body once more. All the time a knuckle knocking the floor. Believe me, folks, you will not refrain from doing bop all over again.
We do the bop, monkey bop. We do the bop, monkey bop.
Alaska, in Kathmandu, in Nebraska, and in Timbuktu, up in Russia, and in Singapore, out in Prussia, and in Bangalore.
We do the bop, monkey bop. We do the bop, monkey bop. We do the bop.
I'm a halfway bay, and I'm a run around your door. I'm a halfway woman, and I'm a run around your door. I'm a keep on rooting low until you wanna love me some more. I'm a halfway babe, and I'm running around your door. I'm a halfway, I'm a run around your door. I'm a keep on rooting, rooting love. You can put a yoke around my neck. Believe me, baby, I'm a dude your little stick, cause I'm a halfway. I said, I'm a halfway, baby. I'm a keep a rude love. I say you wanna love me. Ma cochon pour toi, laisse-moi je te dis. Va le bander, mais va, va comme un serpent, ma cochon pour toi. Ma fouille tout pas tout ton escalier. Ma fouille, fouille, fouille. Et va dire, arrivé tôt. Bonjour pour toi. Hey! Bonjour pour toi. Il va fouiller, fouiller, fouiller. Tu vas tout donner, escalier. Écoutez. Il va mettre des carcons dans mon cou. Comment il va faire que mon serpent me cochon pour toi. Mais cochon pour toi. Il va bouiller, bouiller, bouiller. Et quand il va dire, tu vas donner.
Lil, 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 lil
51 years, that's how long Nuba Noor, the master frame drummers of Nubia, have been playing together. Unbelievable. Lil Baladina is the single that they're releasing from their album Tales from the Blue Nile, out on 30 IPS Records this month. They're going to be here in the UK performing at Rich Mix in London on the 28th of June as part of the Shubak Festival of Arab Arts, at Bridport Arts Centre in Dorset on the 3rd of July, and then on to Norfolk for 2 days of drum camp on the 5th and 6th. They don't visit often, so try and see them while they're over here. And before that was Zydeco accordionist Clifton Chenier, one of the big influences in Mick Jagger's life, following on from music in the style of Lord Kitchener, Harry Belafonte and Kid Creole, Berlin's Lord Mouse and the Calypso Cats. Galicia is a place of rugged beauty, dramatic beaches and a sea that reminds you of the grandness of Mother Nature. Radio Kos are a five-piece band led by Xurxo Fernandez and Quique Pion. Two musicians come ethnomusicologists who bring Galicia and its history together in their music. This is what I mean. Music as much at home today as it must have been 100 years ago, and the theme just as enduring, love and goodbyes. This is Muiñera da Despedida, farewell song.
Vou bordar la despedida, vou bordalo para ver. Vou bordar la despedida que la dan a minha mãe. Ai la la, ai la la, ai la 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 la. Unha despedida só aunque non vale a pena. Vai a unha, vai a dúas, e vai a unha dúcia e media. Ai la la, ai la la, ai la 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 la. Ai la 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 la, ai la 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 la, ai la 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 la, ai la 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 la. Ay la 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 la, ay la 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 la, ay la 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 la, ay la 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 la. Vou bordar la despedida con bordados labradores, con el sombrero en la mano, adiós ramito de flores, ay la la.
Thank you. It's alive, it is alive, it is living. Hey, it survives, it survives the chaos of beginning. Through a time it is storytelling world. Dry it out, breathe it in.
The final animal of the programme tonight. That was Elephant Revival and a track called What's That? From their seven-track EP, It's Alive. Daniel Rose had a spot busking outside the elephant enclosure at Chicago's Lincoln Zoo. Two elephants lived there. One of them was moved to Salt Lake City and tragically died in transit. The elephant that was left behind died that very same night. Broken hearts and telepathic connections got Daniel thinking it was time to form a new band and create some of that connection. So Elephant Revival became their name. Elephants are their totem. The tragic story brings people together and the band's songs give them something to share. One of the CDs that slid out of this month's Songlines magazine was Mugam of Azerbaijan, and it's a great intro into the music that UNESCO recognised as an intangible cultural heritage in 2003. It'll also prepare you for some of the extraordinary Azerbaijani music you're going to hear this summer. Because, of course, this year's Radio 3's World Roots Academy has brought together Azeri Muga Maestro Gochak Askarov as mentor to 17-year-old London-based Fidan Hajieva. They're going to be performing on the Radio 3 stage at WOMAD in July and also at the Royal Albert Hall at the World Roots Prom on the 22nd of August. I'll leave Lucy Duran and her World Roots programme to play you some of their recordings. But what I'm going to do is play a track now from the Mugam CD. It's from a singer called Gulianak Mamadova. And she's singing a song that praises the beauty of Mugams and Mugam singers. Because it is said through the lyrics and their voices, they're able to make life worth living and the world a better place.
Boşamağa incə kamanımla tarım var. Gəl boşamağa incə kamanımla tarım var. Yüzlərlə könül cəzb eyləyən nəğməkarım var. Könlüm açılır gül kimi el nəğmələrindən könlüm açılır gül kimi el nəğmələrindən mahur yaradıb şur yaradıb el qatarım var. Oxunanda deyirəm Zabul oxunanda deyirəm Xalqıma əhsən Bir sən elə bax Gör nə böyük Bəstəkarım var ey. Yaşayır olsa Sənət yaşayır olsa Həyat aləmi fani Aman aman
yarım aman, 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 ah yar hey, yar aman, yar hey.
Singing the world into a better space, Azeri singer Gulyanak Mamadova. You've been listening to me, Lopa Kotari. Before I play one final song tonight, thank you for joining me this evening. For the next two Fridays, Marianne Kennedy is going to be presenting the programme. I'll be back on the 28th of June with Goran Buregovic, a veritable gypsy king in session. I'm going to play us out tonight with a classical South Indian piece from Carnatic violinist Jyotsna Srikant and her album Call of Bangalore, out on World Music Network. It's Thilana, a composition by one of her contemporaries, Lalgudi Jayaraman. I'll see you in 3 weeks' time. Till then, goodbye.
Hello, I'm John Shea, and welcome to another edition of BBC Radio 3 Through the Night. I'm starting today at the 2012 BBC Proms with the City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra and their music director, Andrus Nelsons. In June 1941, the city of Leningrad came under siege from the German army. As the Russian people struggled to defend their nation, Shostakovich vowed to defend its music and culture, telling a radio audience, "The better and more beautiful our art, the more certain it is that it will never be destroyed." Such stirring public declarations are part of the backdrop to his Seventh Symphony, although since then it's also been suggested that a condemnation of totalitarianism at home as well as abroad was another important consideration. Inevitably, the Seventh became known as the Leningrad Symphony, and its first performances, both in the Soviet Union and the United States, soon got caught up in a huge media circus. Dominating the first movement is a relentless march, with a deliberately banal theme representing the Nazis advancing on the city.